Praise God. Back at home, if I said praise God, you respond by saying amen, and then you could wave. We say wave on the air. So you lift your hands and then you wave and say amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God again.
Amen.
And when we go to Muli Children's Family, we do it a little bit differently. We say oe. It's a special greeting that my dad invented to be able to go out in the streets and reach out to the children there. And when he says oe, the children will say oe, and then all be quiet. And then the summon of the service would begin. So let's see. Oe!
Oe!
With your thumbs up. Oe!
Oe!
Ah, great. I feel at home. I'd like to bring you many warm greetings from Kenya, from the Muli Children's Family, and in particular from my parents, Charles and Esther Muli. They know that I'm here this morning, although it's about 8 hours, I think, so they must be sleeping. We are 8 hours behind, but they asked me to send their love and their greetings to you. And as Muli Children's Family, we are indeed very grateful for the partnership that we've had for the last 5 years. Prayer support from St. Alfred's Church, financial support to our organization that has made, you know, that has transformed the lives of children. And that's why I'm able to stand here and be able to show you the progress or the work that is going on at the Muli Children's Family. And so when you see that, then I hope that gives you just a brief preview of what your prayers, of what your financial support has been going into. Now, in the past 20 years since the organization was founded, it was founded in 1989 by my parents, who used to be very successful business people, and they sold all of their property and used their savings to start the work of street children. And we started off with three children, as Reverend Peter mentioned. We brought three children into our own home, and it was very difficult for us, very difficult experience. I was a teenager at that time. And so, you know, since 20 years ago, the situation, the homes have changed. We have grown as an organization from three children. We are currently caring for 2,010 children. In different parts of Kenya. We started off with one home, one branch, but right now we have six branches in different parts of the country, reaching out to children, not only from one particular community or from one religion, but we do not discriminate. And we've been able throughout those 20 years to work with children from various backgrounds, boys, both boys and girls, children from the Muslim community, Christian, some who have no idea who God is. But then through the care that we have been able to give them, they've been able to know the love of Christ through the actions, but not only that, but have a personal relationship with Christ through the spiritual programs that we have within the Muli Children's Family. Now, I'll not dwell so much on the different programs that you may have seen, you know, formal education, vocational skills training, agriculture for sustainability. As you may have seen, those are the sort of programs that we offer, as well as sports, counseling, psychosocial support for the children. Now, in addition to that, we work with the communities where our branches are located. And when I say communities, I mean, other than the children, we work with the adults within that particular region. And we have been able to reach out to the people with free healthcare, medical care, because in most of the places where we are, it's either in the rural villages or in urban slum dwellings where people have no access to medical care because you need to pay to be able to access hospitals. But then we provide free health care for them. We provide employment for up to 1,000 women from the villages who come to work in our farms. And through that, they're able to get money to take care of their own families, to be able to get some money to take their children to school, where those children cannot come to our programs. And so that has really been such a blessing for us to be able to see what God can do through us to reach out to various people in the country. Now, when the home started, as I said, we used the family savings to start the organization. But of course, everything got finished after about 4 or 5 years. And we had to depend on God to provide the resources to be able to take care of the children. And with time, we were able to link up with different churches, different people who have supported us this far, including St. Alfred's. Now, it has not been easy. It has been difficult, a big challenge, because there are times when you wake up and you do not know what the children are going to eat tomorrow. Now, when you have about 2,000 mouths to feed, and you don't have food for them, trust me, it's not an easy thing. Because without food in the stomach, there's hardly much that you can do. And there are a lot of miracles that have happened in MCF, and we've seen God bless us and provide for us. I'll just give you a short story of something that took place in the last year. And one of the miracles that really, you know, God proved himself through that. And in the year 2007, December, we had the elections in our country. And soon after the elections, around December the 31st and the 1st, people were not very happy with the results of the election. And so they felt that some of them felt that they needed to involve themselves in violent activities to prove the point that, you know, we needed a change. We needed a new, someone different from the president who had been elected at that particular point. And the country went into violence. Violence erupted. And we saw that because we were in one of the projects called Ndalani, which is in a rural area. So we saw on the TV screens people fighting. We saw houses being burnt. We saw violent images on the screen. And there were children who started going into IDP camps or internally displaced people's camps. And one of the largest IDP camps was in a place called Eldoret. And Eldoret is where we started as an organization. And there were more than 20,000 families in that particular IDP camp. Now, when we saw that, I remember Dad saying, we need to do something. We need to reach out to these children, you know, who are there. And we didn't have any resources. It's usually quite difficult for us to even budget for ourselves. We'll say we want to feed the children, we want to check them to hospital throughout the course of the year, but we do not know where all those funds are going to come from. And so for him to say we need to go and reach out to these people, 20,000 plus families, more than 7,000 children in that camp, for us we're thinking, well, you know, it's testing. Where is the money going to come from? And we prayed about it, and I remember we sent out a newsletter. Dad wrote a newsletter and we sent it out to our friends across the world. And I believe you may have received that newsletter as well. And we asked for prayers and financial support. And people started praying for us. People started giving, different people in a small way. And throughout the year 2008, Muli Children's Family was able to reach out to more than 20,000 families. We're talking about approximately 50,000 people in the IDP camp in Eldoret, giving them relief rations, which included maize, beans, wheat flour, cooking oil, cooking food for the children, more than 7,000 children, every single day of the year 2008. Now, that is a miracle, because we did not know where that was going to come from. But God provided. As we needed it, he provided. And it was difficult for us to work with the people there because there was so much trauma. People who had seen death, children whose parents had been killed, adults who had lost some of their, you know, their husbands or wives. It was not easy. Or people who had lost their property. And so just being able to work with them for us was also, I don't want to say it was traumatizing, but it was a difficult experience just to work with them. But we were able to do that for the last year. And just to be able to see the hope that we could, you know, could put in the lives of these people, in the lives of the children we worked with, through not only giving them food, but education. Because we had our own teachers, 30 teachers, working at the IDP camp, educating the children, and ensuring that the children did their year 8 and year 12 examinations at the end of the year. And so one of the biggest challenges that we're looking into right now is what will happen to those children once the results come out. Where will they go? Because most of them are still living in satellite camps, different IDP camps within the country. And we hope that we can be able to continue supporting them in one way or another. Now, peace and reconciliation is something that we've been working on also, trying to talk to the people, pray with them on issues of peace and reconciliation so that we can live in peace and harmony, because that is really what it's all about. And it's, you know, I'd like to thank you for the prayers that you gave us throughout the last year, for the work at the IDP camp, and also for the work with the children that continued, because everything had to run parallel to each other. Now, I'll just share a brief story of one of the children who joined us in the last year before I close. And I'll call her Fatma. That's not her real name, but there's a reason why I'll use a different name. Now, in the month of April last year, I got a call from a lady whom I had met at a workshop somewhere. She has a Muslim background, and she called me at night and she told me there's a lady who is in a difficult situation. She's pregnant. She's 17 years old, and her mother knows that she's pregnant, but her father does not know, because we don't want the father to know. Because in the Muslim culture, either when you get pregnant before you're married, you either kill yourself, you commit suicide, or someone else does that to you. And normally it will start with the cousins. And so she wanted that child to be rescued immediately. And so I talked to my parents and they said, you know, it's an emergency situation, so let's bring her as soon as possible. And she came in. She had to travel from northern Kenya to where we were. And when she came in, we did our medical checkups for her, because we have clinics within our homes. And we found out that other than just being pregnant, she was HIV positive. Now, being pregnant was a bad thing in the first place in that particular culture and community, religion. But being HIV positive was another big no, you know, because there's a lot of people who are in denial about the issue of AIDS. Now, we took Fatma in, and I know my mother spent a lot of time praying with her, just encouraging her, counseling her. And through the course of the year, she gave birth to a baby girl through cesarean operation, of course. And the baby was negative. She was not HIV positive, which is really a great thing. Now, one thing I also did not mention was that Fatma had undergone circumcision, you know, according to that particular, the culture of that particular community. And so, you know, it was a very big, it was a big year for her, if I may put it that way. And through counseling and through reconciliation, my mom and the lady from that particular community who had brought the girl spoke to the young man who had impregnated her. And at the end of it, he accepted to take her as his wife. Now, for us, we thought that was really amazing, because if that would happen, then that would be the only way she would be reconciled with her own family. Otherwise, she would be completely cut off and would have to have her within Muli Children's family, like, for the rest of her life. She would never go back there, not anytime soon. But they were reconciled and they got married. And through that, there was, I'm not going to say healing was instant with the family, but healing has started taking place. And she can now go back and she can meet her mother. She's been able to do that. And eventually her father and her brothers, without fearing for her life. And so, you know, we thank God for such, you know, for such blessings, for such transformations. And we pray that he'll continue to be with the children that we work with and the people that we work with in the country of Kenya. Now, let me encourage you by saying that there are times when we feel so tired, so weak in our ministries, and we may not really pray for God to expand those ministries. But through faith, if you pray, I know there's the prayer of Jabez that some of you may have read in Chronicles, and it says, Lord, you know, expand my ministry and bless me indeed. And when you say you ask God to expand your ministries, you may feel so tightened, not necessarily in terms of church ministry, but even in your own life. You know, ministry to your own siblings, or your husband, your wife, or the people around you. Sometimes we feel as though we can't handle anymore, but God always does provide. And I'd like to encourage you to know that He is always there. He'll never give you something that you can never handle. You know, whatever you start, whether it's the IDP camp in Eldoret or any other place, He'll always bless you and He'll always provide, give you the strength, give you the wisdom to be able to know how to handle the things that come in your life. And so thank you so much. Thank you for listening.
I visited MCF in 2004 and have met Charles and Esther and Grace a number of times over the years, both in Kenya and here in Melbourne. And it's always been so inspiring to hear from them and to hear some of their story. Grace, would you please take back greetings and blessings from me and from our church here? And please warmly greet your father and mother. It was lovely to see them September of last year, although they weren't here on a Sunday, so they didn't speak to the congregations. And your father made an invitation to us when he was last here. Would you like to just explain that to everyone?
Dad invited the church to Muli Children's Family, and I'd like to extend that warm welcome to each one of you to come and visit with us and work as volunteers, the Muli Children's Family. And I know that there is a team that may be coming over to Kenya in January of 2009. We have, sorry, this is 2010. I'm 1 year behind. January 2010. And we have different volunteer opportunities for people who come. In the clinic, for instance, people to work. And we had Sally coming over and Tanya last year. And they did some work in our clinic. So we have opportunities for that. We have the farm. We have opportunities for counseling, just spending time with the children. And you don't always have to have a particular skill to be able to come and share with us. And so please know that you're most welcome, and we look forward to having a big team from here. We can accommodate up to 60 people within our homes. You may squash yourselves a little bit, but you'll have a place to sleep. So you're welcome.
We're planning to go as a team in 2010 in January, probably about the second week of January, because the children are often dispersed a little bit during the Christmas period, and just gives MCF time to get the children back and a little bit settled. If that's something you'd like to think about, then do commit it to prayer. There are obviously some costs involved, but I can guarantee you that if you go and you see and you participate, you'll never be the same. It will just touch your heart and will inspire you in a way that is just so different to life here in Melbourne. The needs are so stark, you might feel you don't have much to offer, but as Grace said, just spending time with the children is something that you'll find gets so much back. A little bit like what Tony was saying about our own Sunday school ministry here. If you're interested in that, the person who's going to coordinate that from within St Alfred's is Darcy Jones, and you can find her contact details in our church directory. David Sherrick, I'm going to invite David to come up and pray for Grace and for us. And Grace, thank you so much. Let's thank Grace again.